Time for another edition of Let's Talk, brought home to you by Mayflower Community, a place to call home. It's been in the news. People are wondering and worrying about what's happening with the banking system, and we decided we'll go to the experts and find out. Austin Jones, president of Grinnell State Bank, joins us this morning. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Excellent.
So thanks for taking some time. I know you're busy.
Well, glad to do it. Glad to do it. It's a hot topic, and it's worth talking about.
Yeah. So, you know, we kind of talked about it, you know, when we met off in the street the other day, and I said, you know, that'd be a great thing to talk with everybody because, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of nervous people out there. You see what happened with the two banks here in the U.S. and
right.
then Credit Suisse and
Credit
now
Suisse.
Deutsche Bank. Yeah.
A lot of uncertainty.
You know, the thing about the Swiss, Credit Suisse, I mean, you know, it used to be, I know when I was growing up, you know, Swiss bank account was, that was it, man.
That's right.
Safest way you could have your money was in a Swiss bank account, and that's
right.
Changed.
Well, you know, what's happened is interest rates and the drive up in interest rates as quickly as they have because banks invest their money in loans. They use their bond portfolio as liquidity. When you're not making loans, you have that cash from your depositors that you have to put to work. So you use your bond portfolio as that place to put your money while you wait to make loans. And typically what banks do is their bond portfolio is there in case of an emergency to raise cash. And when you have a spike up in interest rates the way that we've had, that's really put some pressure on the banks. When you mark a bond to market, and this gets very complicated, but people don't like to talk about this, but interest rates are inverse of the value of a bond. So when interest rates are going up, that's good for the saver because they can earn more money. But if you own a bond, it loses value. And so the bond portfolio of these banks going from a 0% interest rate to a 5% inflation rate, which we've done in less than a year, that's going from zero to five. That's 5,000% increase in interest rates. That's what's hurt the bond portfolios. And so Deutsche Bank, Credit Suisse, the Silicon Valley Bank, all the banks that are under these pressures were sitting in bonds, and those bond values have lost. And that's really put a pinch on the financial statements of those banks. And that's what's causing people to be concerned.
So then an obvious question would be, if every bank has to do it this way, then why isn't every bank having these problems?
Correct. The issue is how you invest your bond portfolio. If you keep your bond portfolio very short, there's not as much price fluctuation. If you push out on the yield curve or you're buying 20-year bonds or long-term bonds, those have a lot of price fluctuation because the time value of money. And so the volatility of that bond price, that big increase in price in yield has made the value of those bonds fall substantially more. And so that's the big case. So you have banks like Grinnell State Bank. We tend to invest very short. Our bond portfolio ranges from anywhere from 3 to 7 years. Silicon Valley Bank was investing 20 years. They were going out very long term. For the old timers around here, like me, that have some gray hair, and Tim, you may remember back in the 80s, yep, when the savings and loan crisis hit. Interest rates at that time were around 4 to 5%, but then they went to 16%. And we had a huge increase in interest rates during that time frame. Savings and loans were loaning on loans to people that were 20-year, 30-year loans. Those were the assets. And those rates were like 4, 5, 6% on those loans. Well, now the savings and loans had to be paying 16, 17% on savings accounts and on CDs. That bankrupted them because they, you know, you're bringing money in at 6%. You can't pay 16%. And so Silicon Valley Bank was going very long. So they were all of a sudden in their bond portfolio that they've been buying over the last few years were earning 2 or 3%. And now they have to pay 5% on investments. And it was causing, sorry, I knocked that mic, caused some fluctuation and really affected their balance sheet.
So why does a bank go long then on those bonds then? Obviously that sets you up for this kind of thing. So what's the
justification,
you know, yeah,
justification for going
something like, yeah, there's obviously a risk reward on this, right?
Exactly. It was this, whose crystal ball was looking at what their rate forecasts were.
Friedman's, wasn't it?
Yeah, we thought we had low interest rates. You know, we've had 5 years, 6 years, 10 years of these low interest rates. There's a lot of people that felt they're pushing out on the yield curve to try and get a better rate of return. They were taking more risk with the style of bonds or investments that they were doing. Then there was one other thing that happened, and this is, gets really technical into the banking. About 15, 20 years ago, they changed the way the banks, all financial institutions, have to account for bonds. It was called the FASB, which is the Financial Accounting Standards Board, strategy. You had to tell if you owned a bond to maturity, if you're going to keep it available for sale, or if it was a trading bond. And this was done to try and show the risk in a bank's balance sheet by assigning that. So you had to assign your bonds. Are you going to trade it? Are you going to hold it to maturity? Or are you going to make it available for sale? And when you choose one of those three ways, you can account for that bond differently. Well, the Silicon Valley Bank was accounting for all their bonds as held to maturity. So when you do that, you don't have to reflect the value of that bond in your market pricing. So that made them have that sense that they could go long because they didn't have to put that market fluctuation into their balance sheet. So they were giving a far false sense of security to their investors because they were holding these bonds at face value and not adjusting them for the market. Well, what happened is people started to look at that. There was a run on the bank, and they started to realize that these bonds were being held in a way that they didn't have to truly account for the risk of their investment portfolio. And when the people realized that that was the case, that's when their investors started to pull the money, and then there was what they typically call the run on the bank, because the depositors, which 90% of the depositors had more than $250,000 in their bank. That's not the way it is for most Iowa banks. You know, our depositors, we have 50 depositors that have, large depositors, but they're not nearly 90% of our deposits, or maybe 20 or 30% of our deposits, because we have a broad base of depositors. Those depositors are sophisticated investors, and they realized that their bonds were upside down. This bank actually had more liabilities, more deposits than they had assets. If they were to go liquidate all their loans and sell all their bonds, they were going to be short $30 billion. And that's what caused the run on the bank, because they had to sell those bonds at a substantial loss.
We're talking with Austin Jones, president of the Grinnell State Bank, talking about the what's going on in the banking system. We're going to come back. We're going to have him look into his crystal ball, predict the future. We'll be back. This is Let's Talk, brought to you by Mayflower Community, a place to call home. Let's talk about the Mayflower community just south of downtown Grinnell. Not only is Mayflower an affordable and active place to live or receive rehab or health care, but it's an outstanding place to work. Thoughtful coworkers, caring residents, free lunch, really, paid time off, contributions to your retirement plan, health insurance, disability insurance, opportunities to learn and grow, a private email account, safe and secure. Check out the various job openings on the Mayflower website employment page at Mayflower Grinnell, or give them a call at 641-236-6151. That's 641-236-6151. The main office is located on Broad Street just south of Central Park. Mayflower Community is an equal opportunity employer. Mayflower Community in Grinnell, a place to call home and a great place to work.
Back on Let's Talk, brought home to you by Mayflower Community, a place to call home. Talking with Grinnell State Bank President Austin Jones about the banking system and what's been going on and run on banks. So talk about the FDIC. I know everybody always says FDIC insured, mm-hmm, to a point.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the FDIC has a $250,000 deposit limit. Now, there are different ways you can get that limit. You can have an individual limit. So, Tim, if you had $250,000, I know that's a big if.
Yeah, that's
a big if. You're radio world.
You're
what do you
crazy
expect?
Talking here.
Yeah. So, but you have a $250,000
right.
yourself.
Right.
And then you and your wife would have a joint account. You each would have $250,000 in that joint account. So she could have $250,000 in an individual account. You could have an individual account. And then you could each have $250,000 in a joint account. So there, just the two of you could have $1 million worth of protection. You also have a $250,000 for your IRA. Then you also have $250,000 for every account that you're named a beneficiary on. So if you want, if for your children, you know, say you have two children and your wife and you set up a trust and you make all four of you the beneficiary on that. So in essence, you could deposit $1 million into a trust account and you'd each have $250,000. So just in that case, one person or, you know, basically four people could have $2 million of FDIC insurance. So there are ways you can get over that $250,000. And there's also then other things that you can do within a bank. Most banks have means of buying additional protection. You can also get a repo account, a repurchase agreement account, where you actually get bonds that are in the bank portfolio, which we just talked about, but you can get bonds that back up those deposits over $250,000. So if you're concerned about things like that, there are ways you can get additional protection to govern you. Now, the other thing about the FDIC is we took over a failed bank. Grinnell State Bank took over a bank in Des Moines, Polk County Bank, in 2011 that failed.
Remember that?
Yeah. And we stepped in and took over those assets. Now, there's some talk about with Silicon Valley Bank that there's another bank that has stepped in and that has purchased those things, those assets that are left from the FDIC. And that's what we did with Polk County Bank. Now, with Polk County Bank, they were in a condition that they were failing and there was potential loss. And the FDIC did come in and gave Grinnell State Bank money to protect that shortfall. And then we had to go in and take it over. So the FDIC didn't necessarily pay back. None of those depositors lost any money in the Polk County Bank because Grinnell State Bank stepped in and bought all of those. All those depositors that had over $250,000, we insured them because the FDIC said those loans, those assets that are in Polk County Bank, we will guarantee that they'll be paid. And if they're not, they'll make up the shortfall. So we worked on that and we took care of it so that there was loss, but there wasn't a significant amount of loss. And the FDIC then covered that for us over time. And that's kind of how it's going to work with Silicon Valley Bank as well.
So looking into your famous crystal ball here and what's going to happen? I mean, we've seen three fail.
Yep.
One almost fail.
Yep.
It still could be.
Yep.
And you just wonder what's next. I mean, are we looking at a run on these, or is this just a limited amount, or are we just seeing the tip of the iceberg at this point?
Well, the thing that I, you know, caution people is, you know, this just happened. 2008, you know, we have to go back a little ways here. 2008, there was another banking crisis. That caused the FDIC to close over 300 banks over the course of 4.5, almost 5 years. So there were a lot of issues that occurred during that time. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. I don't think, you know, that we're anywhere near where we were in the 2008, but it's hard to know. So there's a lot of potential that customers need to look at their bank and know what kind of financial position they are. They should talk to their banker and just get that reassurance. $250,000, if you have $1 million in your bank and one of the big things you need to look at and you need to ask your banker is what is your capital to asset ratio? Banks have to have an 8% capital asset ratio. That's a strong bank. If anything's under 8%, the FDIC is comfortable with 6%. So 6% to 8%, the FDIC is comfortable with a bank that has that capital to asset ratio. When it falls below 6%, that's where you need to really be concerned about a bank and say, hey, do I want to expose myself with the over $250,000 limit? But there has never been a depositor, or I shouldn't say never has been, but in Iowa, there's no depositor has lost any money because of a failed bank, because the banking system in Iowa is very strong. We're loaning money to tangible things, to farm businesses, to your local merchants downtown. We have tangible assets. We're not loaning money to ChatGPT or to SpaceX, things that are very, I like to call them a puff of smoke. You know, the collateral is a speculation. So you want to do business with banks that you're comfortable with their business model and who they are and what they are.
And you're very transparent about all this. Banks have to be transparent about what they do with their money.
Yeah, exactly. There is, you can go to the FDIC website, FDIC.gov. There's a report called the UBPR, the Uniform Bank Performance Report. It's public knowledge on every bank, and you can go in at FDIC.gov. You can search the internet with UBPR and say, I want to look at my bank's financial statement. The capital asset ratio is in there. There's also another one called the Texas ratio. The Texas ratio was put into place when all the banks were failing back in the 80s down in Texas. It looks at their bad loans. It looks at their other real estate that they own, their high risk assets, their past due loans. And you want to look at that Texas ratio. And if it's a high ratio, that's a bank you really don't want to put a lot of additional money into. And so, you know, if you're investing more than $250,000 in a bank, you need to ask those two questions. What's their capital asset ratio? What's your Texas ratio? And the third question is, how do you manage your bank? And you just putting money in of $250,000 is the safe bet. But, you know, the local businesses and the local banks, are, if they're helping their community and they're meeting those two questions to your satisfaction, I'd say you're very comfortable putting in more than $250,000.
So it's like asking a woman how much she weighs. What's your debt to, what's your ratio?
our capital asset ratio has historically been about 12% to 13%. Now, with what's happened to the bond market and where we have, Grinnell State Bank did sustain a hit. Our capital was $50 million back at the end of 2021. The end of 2022, we were at $33 million. We lost $20 million of bond portfolio valuation. So that took us from a 12% capital asset ratio to an 8%. So we're still one of the strongest banks in the country because of that, but we have sustained a hit because our average life in our bond portfolio, which had typically been about 3% to 5 or 3 years to 5 years, we'd pushed out on the yield curve. We were buying more municipals, more City of Grinnell type bonds and State of Iowa bonds, and pushing out on the yield a bit, a 3 to 7 years. From 3 years to 7 years. And that had an effect of really causing that drop in our valuation. So we're strong. Our Texas ratio is about as low as you can get. You know, we have no loans over 90 days past due. We have no other real estate owned. We have no, we have almost no bad debt in our portfolio. We're very, very clean. So we have a very strong Texas ratio.
Safe, solid, secure.
Safe, solid, and secure.
There you go. And Austin says that anytime you want to come by and look in the big vault and see the mattress that they hide all the money under, you're more than welcome to do that.
And we have our gold coins sitting right out in the front lobby, so people can come see our gold, too. So we can come by. We have gold for sales, gold and silver, if you want to throw that into the vault.
Okay. Austin, thanks for this. It made a lot of sense. Thank you for dumbing it down for me so I could understand it.
I'm glad to do it.
All right. Austin Jones with Grinnell State Bank. That'll do it for this edition of Let's Talk, brought to you by Mayflower Community, a place to call home.